family heirlooms, from antique quilts to digital photographs. The keynote address, Of Mortar and Mortality, by cemetery preservation scholar Holly Lubisky, is from 2 to 3.
Up next here on the Afternoon Magazine, a look at the weather. A frontal boundary continues to move across locations east of the Mississippi River, resulting in scattered showers and scattered thunderstorms today, and that will continue into tomorrow. To our north, portions of central and northern Wisconsin will be cold enough for some sleet and snow to mix with the rain today. Much cooler conditions are on tap for the next couple of days, with dry weather expected after the front makes its exit. Highs today will range from the mid-40s in southeastern Wisconsin to the 70s across eastern Indiana. Many locations will see steady or falling temperatures through the day. Low temperatures across the Midwest tonight will be in the 30s and 40s. Overnight lows near the Ohio River will be in the 50s. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon: showers are likely early this afternoon, much cooler today. The temperature will fall into the mid-40s. That's where we are now. The wind from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, decreasing clouds, quite cool. Expect a low of 38. The wind will be out of the north from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 58. The wind from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, the low 38. The wind will be out of the northeast from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny. Look for a high in the low 60s. Sunday night through Tuesday, partly cloudy with lows through the period in the low 40s and highs in the low 60s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 40s to the upper 60s and some low 70s in some Indianapolis locations. At Rockford, 42 degrees. It was 45 at Chicago's O'Hare Airport and at Bloomington. In Mattoon, 50 degrees. Carbondale reported 60 degrees. Rain was reported at South Bend, 47 degrees there. It was 57 at Lafayette. In Indianapolis, a partly sunny sky was recorded, and the temperature there at noon, or at 1 o'clock, 69 degrees. In Terre Haute, 67. Willard Airport reported light rain and fog at the top of the hour. The temperature, 47. The dew point, 45. The relative humidity, 93%. The wind out of the northwest at 16. And the barometric pressure, 29.85 and rising. And at 1240, 45 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. In recent years, Illinois has added programs and bulked up services to help people who don't have or can't afford private health insurance. There's All Kids, which offers state-subsidized coverage for children, and Illinois Cares Rx, which helps low-income seniors pay for prescription drugs. Those are just two examples of the nearly three dozen programs that would be affected by a proposal unveiled yesterday by Governor Pat Quinn. He also wants to hike the tax on cigarettes. Amanda Vinicky has more.
A lot of Illinois residents rely on Medicaid to pay for their health care. These days, every other baby born in Illinois is covered by it, an uptick partially prompted by the recession that, coupled with Illinois' increases in coverage, has made costs soar. Medicaid accounts for 40% of the state budget, a number that Governor Pat Quinn says will grow unless something's done to rein it in.
In order to save the system, to rescue the system, to have a system of health care for our most vulnerable residents all across Illinois, 2.7 million people, lots of them children, we have to make some fundamental changes. Now, these are difficult changes, but if we don't make those changes, we won't have a system at all.
Quinn has proposed a three-pronged approach. It relies on raising the state tax on cigarettes, paying doctors and hospitals less for taking care of Medicaid patients, and cutting programs and the number of people who qualify for them. Those cuts are wide-ranging. Some aren't too hard to swallow, like limiting recipients to one pair of eyeglasses every 2 years. Other cuts are more like cost controls. Prior approval would be needed to get a wheelchair repaired or for certain HIV drugs, and the state would limit paying for the delivery of babies via C-section and for weight loss surgery. Then there are moratoriums on admissions to mental institutions and knocking 26,000 adults off a state insurance program. In order to prevent more cuts, Quinn is proposing raising the state's 98-cent tax on cigarettes by a dollar.
It's one of the largest drivers of cost in our Medicaid system. Now, the proven strategy of preventing more people from smoking and continuing to smoke is to raise the price of cigarettes. That's just common sense.
And as a bonus, Quinn says, that'd trigger an extra infusion of cash from the federal government. The American Cancer Society and Lung Association are thrilled, but Senator Dale Ryder, a Republican from Mattoon, isn't, especially considering Democrats raised the state income tax just last year. He says the governor's following a pattern.
To start the session, talking tough, talk about cuts and talk about reform, and while we're still 6 weeks out from the end of session, the governor's waving the white flag and saying, you know, we're really not going to change the system that much, and we're going to go ahead and raise taxes.
Ryder's part of a bipartisan group of legislators the governor had charged with finding a way to cut Medicaid by 19%.
You were dealing with a serious population. This was not an easy job. You're talking about children on ventilators. You're talking about seniors in wheelchairs. You're talking about the most fragile population in Illinois.
That's Representative Patty Bellock, the House Republican in the group. Bellock says it's these vulnerable people she wants to protect.
And you don't have other people in the system that drive away in a Cadillac and a Lexus and have people in the programs that shouldn't be in the program.
Bellock says the governor's package doesn't go far enough in scrubbing the rolls. She says there are people who've moved out of state but still come back to Illinois to use their state-paid Medicaid benefits. She wants recipients to have to prove their eligibility every year. She's concerned that under Quinn's proposal, even those who need the care would have a hard time finding it because doctors would be unwilling to treat them. The governor's plan calls for a roughly 8% decrease in what the state pays caregivers. Laura Shea is president of the Sangamon County Medical Society and a practicing psychiatrist in Springfield. She says reimbursements are already too low, and if they go lower, more doctors may turn away Medicaid patients.
I'm really concerned about the people who are insured by public aid because I feel like they have a hard time getting treatment already.
It's likely that some level of rate cut will be part of the final deal. It may not, however, be at the level Quinn has proposed. The governor may have rolled out his plan, but the legislative group he formed is continuing to meet and trying to draft its own bipartisan prescription for saving Medicaid. Whatever the final agreement may be, it is going to hurt. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Worries about the Clinton landfill's proposal to store hazardous PCBs are fueling a quest for a special federal designation for areas that get drinking water from the Mahomet Aquifer. That's the underground water source that lies beneath the Clinton landfill in much of central and east central Illinois. Local officials hope that establishing a sole source aquifer area will stop the Clinton landfill from taking in hazardous chemicals. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows reports.
At a recent Urbana City Council meeting, council members were so convinced of the need for the special designation that Mayor Laurel Prussing and Alderwoman Diane Marlin were surprised that the Illinois American Water Company would not be joining them.
But it is ironic that the water company will not participate. I agree with you.
Well, it's more than ironic. It's irresponsible.
As it turns out, Illinois American Water is exploring the question through a different route, which we'll get into at the end of this report. The route agreed on by the cities of Urbana, Champaign, and Normal, plus the University of Illinois, is more straightforward. They will share the cost of consultants to study the feasibility of sole source aquifer status and then ask the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to grant it. The people they'll have to convince are at the EPA's Region 5 office in Chicago, people like Bill Spaulding, the region's sole source aquifer coordinator. He'll help decide how vital the Mahomet Aquifer is to the communities it serves.
One of the criteria is that it has to be a sole or principal source of drinking water, and that also they need to convince us that if that source of drinking water became contaminated, that it would be economically infeasible to supply water from an alternative source.
Areas on the west end of the Mahomet Aquifer can also get drinking water from the Illinois River and might be left out of a sole source aquifer area. But Champaign Assistant City Attorney Joe Hooker, whose city is leading the sole source effort, says they believe they can make the case for towns farther to the east.
Because we've identified at least like 88 municipalities in what we're characterizing as the service area that get all of their drinking water from the Mahomet Aquifer. So I think that's going to be one of the easier things for us to establish. It might be a little more challenging to establish that there are not economic alternatives, although our sense is that that's the case as well.
If a sole source aquifer area is proclaimed, federally funded projects in that area would need additional review from the EPA to go ahead. That would affect things like new roads and bridges, although most such projects are approved. But the state of Illinois has its own regulations that would kick in as well. Illinois has never had a sole source aquifer area before, so the deputy manager of the Illinois EPA's Division of Public Water Supply hasn't had to enforce them. But Rick Cobb says the rules would make it pretty difficult to open something like the Clinton landfill over or near the Mahomet Aquifer, even without permission to store PCBs.
It reads as if that would be prohibited unless the owner and operator can make a demonstration that between the bottom of the landfill and the top of the aquifer, there's at least a 50-foot thick geologic layer with low permeability.
But Cobb says existing landfills, such as the one near Clinton, would be grandfathered in. And he says the state rules don't appear to have an impact on the landfill's proposal to store PCBs in a new unit, because that would still fall within the facility's current land footprint. The final decision on the landfill's request to store PCBs remains with the federal EPA, which says the matter needs further study. Attorney Joe Hooker with the city of Champaign says that even if it doesn't stop PCBs from coming to the Clinton landfill, a sole source aquifer designation would be a good thing to have.
I think the sense of all the parties on this is that regardless of what consequence this has for the Clinton landfill proposal for PCB disposal, this is a very important step for us to take moving into the future to adequately protect the aquifer from similar projects.
And Illinois American Water says it's interested in the idea, even if it's not joining the effort right now. The company is a longtime member of the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium, along with other local water companies, water authorities, local governments, and interested parties. The consortium is preparing to launch its own study of sole source aquifer status, with the stated goal of gathering information that everyone in the region can use in making decisions about the issue. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
To learn more about the EPA's Sole Source Aquifer Program and to see a local resolution about it, go to our website, will.illinois.edu.
Support for WILL comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the standard all-wheel drive Subaru Outback with an EPA highway rating of 29 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at their showroom on Route 45 in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 20th of April, 2012. It was on this day, 1841, the first detective story was published, Edgar Allan Poe's The Murders in the Rue Morgue, a story in which his detective, C. Auguste Dupin, reads about the murder of a mother and daughter in a Paris street. The police are baffled. Dupin offers up his services, finds a hair at the crime scene that he realizes does not belong to a human, and eventually he pieces together the evidence to solve the case, the murder committed by an orangutan who had been held in captivity by a sailor. The story, narrated not by Dupin, but by his less competent sidekick, just as the Sherlock Holmes stories were narrated by Dr. Watson 45 years later. Edgar Allan Poe wrote two more detective stories starring C. Auguste Dupin, The Mystery of Marie Roget and The Purloined Letter, in the 1840s. It's the birthday of the writer Pietro Aretino, born in Arezzo, Italy, 1492. He was a satirist who liked to write about the private lives of famous people, including members of the church, and he was happy to blackmail the wealthy and the powerful with the threat of writing satires about them. He also wrote some of the earliest pornography, died at the age of 64, and according to legend, he died of suffocation from laughing too much. It's the birthday of the fantasy writer Peter S. Beagle, New York City, 1939, best known for his book The Last Unicorn. Story of a unicorn who realizes she's the last unicorn who is not imprisoned and sets out on a quest to free the others. It sold more than 5 million copies after it came out in 1968. It's the birthday of the novelist Sebastian Falks, born in Dunnington, England, 1953. He went on to Cambridge and then spent a year studying in Paris. He said, "France was a terribly old-fashioned, unmodernized country at the